The second and third nights were much the same. There seemed to be some kind of escalating gang war, and they spent a considerable amount of time helping the GCPD quell the worst of the violence. Jason noticed Nightwing didn't leave his side when they were fighting, and although it was kind of nice to be fighting alongside Dick instead of against him, Jason didn't need a babysitter. It was late when they got back to Dick's apartment, and Jason hated to seem ungrateful. He appreciated everything Dick had done for him, but this couldn't go on. He was getting too comfortable at Dick's place. Too comfortable in general. And he wasn't ready for how it made him feel. He needed to get back out there. To get a place of his own and go back to hitting the streets alone. Family team-ups were fine in an emergency, but the Red Hood was a lone wolf. It wasn't doing his reputation any good to look like he needed backup from Nightwing, of all people. "Jason, what's wrong?" Dick asked when the lights were out. Jason sighed and rolled onto his back. "Look, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I'm cramping your style." Dick formed a gun out of his thumb and index finger and made shooting noises. "It's not just that." Jason rolled his eyes. "I need to find a new place. I can't stay with you." "You could," Dick offered, and Jason closed his eyes. This was exactly his worry. Every time something bad happened to him, the Bat Clan circled around him and made him feel safe. A part of things. But Jason knew it was only a matter of time before he screwed up and disappointed them. And then where would he be? No, it was better to be alone. That way, there wasn't anything to lose. Dick sat up, leaning against the headboard. "Jason, I know you have a hard time believing this, but there's nothing you can do that would make you not part of this family. You don't know that." "Yeah, I do. Jay, you're not the same guy that came back to Gotham seeking revenge. You were messed up by the pit, and Talia wound you up like a bomb and sent you back to us hoping you'd explode and take us all down with you." Jason flinched. It was true, and sometimes he was still so angry at Bruce. Dick reached out and touched one of Jason's clenched fists, and Jason forced himself to relax. Being angry was almost more reflex than anything else after years of hating and hurting. Even though he'd forgiven Bruce a long time ago for not saving him. It was that the Joker was walking around, ready to kill again, that Jason had a harder time with. He let out a breath and appreciated how Dick just waited for him to get himself together. "I know you mean well," Jason started, and Dick laughed. "What?" "We do, you know. Meanwhile, we have our hearts in the right places, but I guess you need more space than we sometimes want to give you." Jason felt a hand brush through his hair, and he shook his head to dislodge it. "It's just that I remember what it was like to lose you, Jay. And none of us wants that to happen ever again." "It's going to..." Dick put his hand over Jason's mouth. Gently, but firmly. His voice was soft and sober. "When you're a miserable old coot yelling at the neighbor kids to keep off your lawn, fine. But not before that, okay? I don't know how to get this through your stubborn head, but your family. We love you." Jason made an annoyed sound under Dick's hand, but resisted the urge to lick him. It wouldn't necessarily make Dick let go, and it almost certainly wouldn't stop him from finishing his speech. The longer this dragged on, the more likely it was that Dick was going to get huggy. "And we're not okay with you taking on the whole world by yourself when we're perfectly willing to help. Because, honest to God, Jay, I don't know what we'd do if we lost you again." Dick's voice cracked a little, and Jason pulled himself into a sitting position, all business. And I don't want to be responsible for you or one of the others getting hurt. Obviously, someone's trying to rattle my cage. We're not going to draw them out with a togetherness routine. And if we do, all that's going to do is end up with someone taking a shot at you to hurt me. In the darkness, Dick grinned like a mad fool, and Jason thought back over what he'd said. Oh, Christ. He was never going to hear the end of this. Would you cry manly tears if someone shot me? Dick said. It was impossible for him to sound serious with that big a smile on his face. I might just shoot you myself, Jason mused, before Dick was in his personal space and hugging him tight. What's Barbara going to think when she sees us hugging in our shorts? Jason felt Dick shrug, but he didn't let go. I'll help you find a new place next week, okay? Just humor us a little more. Besides, it's not so bad here, is it? Aside from the hugging, Jason said, but couldn't bring himself to put any bite into it. Dick promptly kissed him on the forehead, then scrambled back to his side of the bed, just as Jason's pillow thumped against his back. It was all-out war in a few seconds, and after a few minutes of beating each other silly with Dick's excessive number of pillows, they flopped back onto the bed, drained.
Good night, Jay,
Dick said through a yawn.
I'm glad you're here.
Night, Jason returned, not entirely at ease with his feelings, the way Dick always seemed to be. He wasn't even sure he believed in unconditional love, what families were supposed to offer. Sure, they'd have his back. But Bruce's moral code only allowed so much. Of course, Jason wasn't in jail or Arkham, and he had certainly done enough to deserve either. Instead, he'd been given chance after chance to come back to the fold, to be family again, both on and off the streets. Jason lay in the darkness and listened to the soft, easy breaths of his brother, still amazed Dick had welcomed him back with open arms. Well, after he'd stopped trying to kill everyone. Talia really had done a number on him. He thought about what Dick had said, about helping him find a new place. And Jason knew it was time exactly because he honestly could have stayed with Dick and been okay with it. He hadn't slept this well in a long time, hadn't ever slept well sharing a bed with someone, and every instinct was telling him to get out before he got in too deep. He was afraid it was already too late for that. A solid week after the incident with the coffin, life felt almost normal. Jason and Dick were helping the Robins take down a bunch of drug runners in an abandoned apartment building. Half the group headed for the roof, the others for street level. We'll take the high road, Dick called to Jason, following a guy up the fire escape. That means you two take the low road, Jason said, making shooing motions at Tim and Damien. Shouldn't we split up a little more equitably? Tim suggested, landing a kick to one guy's midsection as he headed for the stairs. Yeah, Hood, Damien said. Right now you've got all the brawn and we've got all the brains. We've got all the pretty, you mean? And I'm gonna tell Nightwing you said that, brat, Jason teased, pistol whipping one guy who just wouldn't stay down.
See if we take you for ice cream after we're done here.
Jason made sure the two guys were down and zip-tied before he followed Dick to the rooftop. He had a moment to appreciate how amazing Dick was as he gave a spinning kick to one guy, turned and vaulted out of the way of a crowbar aimed at his head, and took out the second guy by dropping to the ground and sweeping his legs out from under him.
Maybe there was still a little bit of hero worship left in Jason.
Jason went after the two who were trying to make it to the next rooftop over. He slowed one down with a batarang to the knee and tackled the other, bringing all his weight to bear as he pushed the guy into the asphalt rooftop. They rolled and both came up swinging. Under the hood, Jason was grinning. This was his element. This was where he belonged. Then he saw Dick's two guys running back toward the fire escape, and Jason dodged a punch while he watched for a batarang to take down the frontrunner. Instead, they made it to the stairs and disappeared. Jason swung his head around to check on Dick and got blindsided with a kidney punch. He dropped to one knee, breathing through the pain, and he could see something was very wrong with Dick. He was walking deliberately to the edge of the rooftop, staring at nothing in particular. And then he started to raise his arms like he would have done in his circus days when he was preparing to leap. Without a grapple. Jason ducked another swing, pulled out his gun, and shot his guy in the kneecap. "Sorry, man, priorities," he said. And Jason ran faster than he ever had in his life toward the edge where Nightwing was precariously balanced. Jason grabbed Nightwing's uniform at the neck and hauled him back with all his strength. Dick fell backwards, taking Jason down with him so the two of them ended up in a heap on the rooftop.
"What the fuck was that?" Jason demanded. "You looked like you were about to take a swan dive off the roof. There's no net, circus freak."
Tim fell," Dick said, and Jason's heart leapt into his throat for half a second. Until he realized he could hear Tim in his earpiece loud and clear, insulting the criminal element's intelligence below. Dick, meanwhile, was scrambling to look over the edge, but his limbs didn't seem to be processing quite right. Jason grabbed him by the shoulders.
"He's fine, but I don't think you are."
He pulled off a glove and held a finger in front of Dick's face, moving the finger back and forth.
"You're not tracking. You were like 15 feet away from me. How the hell did those guys get the drop on you?"
Dick rubbed at his neck, and Jason saw a telltale spot of blood. Blow dart, probably, straight into the blood system. And from the way Dick was having trouble making his body work, whatever it was had some kind of paralytic agent in it and probably a hallucinogen. Jason was pretty sure it hadn't been Thug One and Thug Two either. Subtlety was not really in this gang's vocabulary. He looked around, but couldn't see anyone else.
"I've gotta go,"
Dick said plaintively, pushing Jason away and trying to get to his feet without any success.
"Robins need me. Have to save them."
"They're fine." Jason kept his grip on Dick, not convinced he wouldn't try to go over the edge to save the two boys below.
"Listen to me. They're fine. You're hallucinating."
"I have to save them." Dick's voice was pleading. And Jason didn't know what to do with a Nightwing who was broken.
Dick had always been the one who had it all together.
Jason undid his hood and dropped it, leaving the red domino he habitually wore under the hood. And, okay, he knew he had issues, one neurosis at a time. Dick stared at him like he was a stranger, and then tried once again to get away from Jason's relentless grip. There was no one else with them on the rooftop anymore. Jason's guys had helped each other limp away, and Jason didn't give a damn at the moment.
"Christ, you're like a drunk eel. Stop it! It's Jason! I'm trying to help you!"
All Jason could think was that Batman would have a fit if he heard them using real names over the comms. That was rule number one.
"Jason!"
Dick said suddenly, and Jason had a moment of hope that the damn drug was wearing off.
"Yes!"
"Jason's dead. I wasn't there to save him," Dick said, and the look on his face was heartbreaking.
Hey, come on, I'm Jason, I'm right here.
He ripped off the domino, ignoring the sting of pulled flesh that came from not taking it off properly.
There went rule number two. Always wear your mask when in uniform. I'm alive. No sitting required.
What the hell's going on up there?
Damien's voice was steady, but with an undertone of worry.
Nightwing's down, Jason said, knowing the two Robins fighting thugs below were going to freak out even as he said it. He'll be fine, but we've got to get him out of here. Red, is B at that opera thing tonight?
Yes, but what happened?
You two get the hell out of here. Now, rendezvous at D's place.
Jason said, in a voice that didn't allow for any argument. Through the comm, Jason could hear Tim and Damien retreating, although they weren't happy about it. Jason tapped his comm.
Hood to A.
Alfred's voice came on the line an instant later.
You called, lad?
Big Bird's hurt, and we need a pickup. How fast can you make it to the old Runford building?
5 minutes,
Alfred said. And Jason could tell the car was already rolling at a speed that Bentley didn't usually travel.
What's happened?
Jason looked at Dick's wide, frightened eyes as he stared into the night, seeing something that wasn't there. Parents falling. Dead Robins. Jason didn't dare let go of him.
He's been drugged. He's definitely not in touch with reality at the moment. Some sort of paralytic, and maybe fear toxin.
It certainly seemed like Scarecrow's touch, and everyone knew Dick's recurring nightmares usually had people fall into their deaths. Jason wasn't particularly sure what Tim or Damien was afraid of, nor did he really want to find out. Not like this.
Should I summon the Master?
No, I think we can handle it. Just need to lift back to Dee's place.
Are you sure the manor wouldn't be more...
I'll take care of him, Jason said, sharper than he'd wanted, concern driving his tone. Just get here!
Steady, lad,
Alfred said.
I'm capable of speeding and talking at the same time.
I'm just...
Used to him looking after you instead of the other way around?
I wouldn't go quite that far, Jason said, but yeah, that was basically the truth of it. Dick was the first Robin, the oldest, the big brother. They all looked to him when they needed someone to run interference with Batman or with Bruce. It was Dick more than anything else that made them a family. He kept them together, and now...
Jason held tighter as Dick struggled to get away from whatever he was seeing. He'd pulled off his mask and he wasn't talking anymore, but tears were making their way down his face. Jason couldn't stand to watch Dick fall apart. He closed his eyes, held on to Dick, and waited for Alfred to signal he was there with the car. Dick's apartment was further away than Jason had anticipated, but then he had been measuring time in rooftops, not red lights. The Robins were sure to have beaten them there, and Jason was counting on Tim to have dug through Dick's supplies and come up with an appropriate antidote.
You're sure you don't require any assistance? Alfred said, pulling around to the back of Dick's apartment building.
Jason shook his head.
Dick had quieted down to a dejected, miserable pile of humanity. He was conscious, but only barely, and Jason had very little trouble maneuvering Dick over his shoulder.
He'll be okay. We'll look after him.
Alfred gave Jason a pleased look and a curt nod.
I never doubted it for a moment, Master Jason. Please, call if you have need of anything.
Jason slipped into the building and up the back stairs. By the time he reached Dick's apartment, he was breathing hard. Dick was heavier than he'd expected. All that muscle he'd built up as Batman. Jason leaned against the apartment door, almost falling through when Tim pulled it open suddenly. Get in here. Is he okay? Tim's face was a mix of anger and concern. You said fear toxin. I've got a couple different antidotes we can try. What was all that about people falling? Damien asked. He was standing back, as if bringing Dick home unconscious didn't matter to him. As if it was something that happened all the time. But Jason could see the worry on the kid's face. He's hallucinating. Tim, help me get him into the shower, Jason said. And between the two of them, they managed to get Dick into the bathroom. Jason got the Nightwing costume undone and shoved it down to Dick's waist, leaning him up against the shower wall. Hold him up, Tim, Jason said, stripping out of his own leather jacket and body armor. When he was down to a t-shirt and boxers, he took over from Tim, stepping back into the shower and turning on the cold water. Go get the antidote. Whatever you think's going to work fastest. The cold water should help him shake off the paralytic. Dick came alert with a shout, and Jason held on to him so the two of them didn't go down in the slippery tub. Jason ducked the weak punch aimed in his general direction. Dick! Come on, it's Jason. Jason, Dick repeated without recognition, and then his face fell again. Jason's dead. Here we go again, Jason muttered. He's obviously remembering you before you grew into a gargantuan. Not now, Damien, Jason held the squirming Nightwing. Come on, Tim, hurry it up. Okay, okay, Tim burst into the bathroom with a pair of syringes. Try this. Jason shook his head. I'm gonna have to hold on to him. You give it to him. Tim frowned, but nodded, and Jason was pleased. He knew it was tearing the two younger kids apart to see Dick like this, but he couldn't deal with that right now. He pressed his back up against Dick, so Dick was immobile against the shower wall. Except for his arms. Jason grabbed Dick's right arm in both of his and attempted to hold it steady enough for Tim to insert a syringe. It wasn't going to be easy. Especially with Dick's other arm now wrapped around Jason's throat, putting pressure on his carotid artery, which meant he had at most 10 seconds before he passed out, depending on how good Dick's instincts were. Tim's eyes were wide, but he got the first syringe in and backed off. Jason felt his vision start to purple, but he didn't fight, just let the darkness close in. He woke up on the bathroom floor. Alone. His hair and clothes were damp and his head was aching, so he hadn't been out long. Maybe a minute. He could hear a thump from the bedroom, which was probably the Robins getting Dick into bed. Jason rolled to his feet and steadied himself on the edge of the sink. He looked pale, but at least he didn't have any bleeding gashes. He was hoping the Robins wouldn't let him faceplant into the tub. Tim popped his head around the door. You okay? Yeah. Is he out?
I gave him a sedative first. Figured it would be easier to give him the antidote if he wasn't trying to fight us off. He'll probably be out for a few hours at least.
Jason nodded and followed Tim back into the bedroom. Dick was laid out on the bed, with Damien very awkwardly trying to tug off the last leg of Dick's uniform. Jason grabbed his duffel from beside the bed and pulled out jeans and a dry t-shirt. His shorts were dry enough. He pulled on his jeans and tugged the wet tee over his head. He started to pull on the new one when he realized the boys were staring at him. What? Jason pulled his dry t-shirt down over his chest. He knew he had scars, but it wasn't as if they hadn't seen him without a shirt before. Since when do you have clothes here? Damien asked. You don't, Jason said flippantly, not sure how else to answer. They hadn't told the Robins about what had happened, and Jason was positive Batman hadn't told him either.
Damien rolled his eyes, finally freeing Dick's foot from the uniform. Of course I do. So does Tim. Even Father keeps close here. But since when do you? Jason's cheeks flushed. He should have known that getting too close to Dick would cause everyone else to be suspicious of him. No matter what he did, he couldn't get past their distrust. Jason, it's not a problem, Tim said. We're just curious. You made it pretty clear you don't want any of us getting too close. Sure, there was a while with movie nights and stuff, but then you were too busy. So, yeah, it's kind of a surprise to see you with the duffel of clothes on Dick's. My apartment's been compromised, Jason admitted, crossing the room to help Damien roll Dick under the covers. Jason gently lifted Dick's head and placed a pillow under it.
He turned to face the two younger boys. He made a decision.
It's late. Get ready for bed, and then I'll tell you everything. We're staying the night? We're all staying the night. In the end, Jason chickened out and let Tim call Batman and bring him up to speed. He justified it by saying he had to stay on guard in case someone made another play for one of them. Tim had the good grace not to call him on it, but Damien wasn't known for his tact. I'm perfectly capable of protecting Grayson while he's unconscious, Damien said, sounding affronted that Jason could have thought otherwise. I know that, Squirt. Truthfully, at the moment, sitting on the bed beside an unconscious Nightwing, Damien looked pretty much like the 13-year-old kid he was, complete with pajamas that didn't make him look like a ninja. Jason was surprised. We watched over you in the hospital, Damien continued, and Jason remembered the kid standing between him and Batman. But the kid wasn't getting it. It wasn't about him. This is on me, Jason said, watching Dick twitch in his sleep. The antidote would help, but it wouldn't entirely prevent nightmares. Meaning? Tim said, coming into the room. He was wearing blue pinstripe pajamas and looked like an underfed account executive. Jason sighed and grabbed a chair, pulling it close to the edge of the bed where he could see out the window and watch the door at the same time. He put his two favorite handguns on the bedside table and started to clean the third. Damien rolled his eyes, but Tim nodded at the wisdom of the precaution and climbed into bed on the other side of Damien. Jason raised an eyebrow.
Do you guys sleep over a lot?
You don't, Tim said smugly, tucking three pillows in behind him. You promised us a story.
Yeah, I guess I did.
Jason wasn't prepared for the anger he faced when he finished bringing the Robins up to speed. You didn't think we needed to know this? Damien said, his scowl dark as a thundercloud. You really think we're children who can't be told the truth? Someone put you in a freaking coffin, Jason! How is that not worth mentioning? Jason swallowed. Apparently, he'd screwed up. But he'd figured if Dick didn't want to tell the Robins, then that was the best decision. He was as guilty as the rest of them of putting his faith in their big brother's decisions, which were more often made with his heart than his head.
Dick didn't tell you either,
Jason said, grasping at straws like a dying man. Oh, and we'll deal with him when he's conscious, Tim said with conviction. But you're supposed to be the practical big brother, the one who doesn't bullshit us trying to protect us. Jason looked up in surprise. He'd never thought of the Robins counting on him for something. He wasn't like Dick. He didn't think of himself as the big brother type, but he'd forgotten he wasn't the only one involved. The Robins had decided he was their big brother too,
and he'd gone and let them down without meaning to. He felt like crap. "I'm sorry," he said, not sure when the last time was he'd said those words. Probably to Dick on a rooftop months ago. And since that time, he'd been slowly putting more and more distance between himself and the others, until desperation had made him reach out. It was starting to look like he only wanted to be part of the family when he needed their help. Maybe it was him who was wrong about how families were supposed to act. Tim huffed, but nodded, and Damien uncrossed the arms that had been folded over his chest the entire time Jason was talking. Maybe the kid would give him another chance. "We know you kind of suck at family," Tim said, "but you can't cut us out every time you get freaked out. We need you and Dick both, okay? Bruce keeps us in the dark about everything he possibly can. We expect more from you two." "Okay," Jason agreed, not entirely sure if he was agreeing to more movie nights and sleepovers or routine confessions of his sins. He was definitely going to have to keep the kids in the loop now, or he knew they'd make him regret it somewhere down the line. He glanced at the clock, amazed at how quickly the time had slipped away. "You two should get some sleep," Jason said, noticing that Damien's eyes were starting to droop. "What about you?" Jason shook his head. "I'll keep watch." Tim immediately slipped down into the sheets and rolled over to the far side of the bed where Jason usually slept. Damien was in the middle, but he seemed reluctant to be too far away from Dick. "He'll be all right," Jason said, turning out the light. He resumed his place at the side of the bed, the familiar weight of a gun in his hand. He knew Barbara thought he was nothing but a killer. Maybe he was. He didn't think he would bat an eye at protecting any of the three people in the room in front of him. To the death, if necessary. But he also knew they wouldn't want him to cross that line, even for them. "Don't kill anyone," Damien whispered, when the room was quiet with the sounds of sleep. "We have to be better. For them." "I'll try," Jason said in the same whisper, and reached across Dick to give Damien's shoulder a squeeze. "Now go to sleep." Damien curled up and seemed to do exactly that. Jason sat back and cradled the gun in his hand. It somehow didn't seem as comforting as it had before. He tucked it into the back of his jeans, and then wondered what to do with his suddenly empty hands. Dick moaned softly in his sleep, and Jason didn't think about it, just reached out and took Dick's hand in his. Immediately, he quieted, and Jason sat there holding his brother's hand until dawn broke through the window.